بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعلى ثلاثة الذين خلفوا حتى إذا ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت وضاقت عليهم أنفسهم وظنوا أن لا ملجأ من الله إلا إليه ثم تاب عليهم ليتوبوا إن الله هو التواب الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home of the receiver, in tonight's Taraweeh, we came across an incident which took place in Tabuk, and I mentioned to you yesterday also about Tabuk, the expedition of Tabuk, where the Romans had mustered a huge army against the Muslims. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to know about it. He was alerted and he began preparations with a large force. Some narrations 10,000, some say 20,000, some have mentioned 30,000 Sahaba prepared. And they went to fight the enemy. But no fight took place. Sahaba were there plus minus 20 days. And they returned victorious because the enemy then fled. However, there's a story of Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu anhu. Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu anhu was a great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in this particular expedition, he did not participate. And he lamented over it. He grieved over it. Allah talks about this incident in this verse that I recited to you. Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu anhu explains, he says that I did not remain behind, I did not lag behind any of the battles that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated in. Every time I was there in all the battles besides the battle of Badr. The battle of Badr, if you go into the whole history, very, very, very briefly, it wasn't a planned battle. It happened on the spur of the moment. The original intention was not a war that Rasulullah ﷺ, a battle that he was going to fight the enemy. They were actually going to intercept a caravan of Abu Sufyan. Remember, the mushrikeen of Makkah persecuted the Sahaba. They stole all their belongings in Makkah, took over their homes and properties and possessions when they had to make hijrah. So there was an opportunity now to intercept this caravan that had gone to Syria and was returning. And the long story short, a battle then ensued. So Rasulullah and few Sahaba, we said 313 of them, had participated in the battle of Badr. So whoever did not participate in Badr was not rebuked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah. Those who were there, those who were not, they were absent. There was no fault of theirs because it happened on the spur of the moment. It wasn't a plan. There wasn't any tashkil, as we say, for this battle. However, he says, I was present in Laylatul Aqaba. Laylatul Aqaba was a night when Sahaba, the Ansar, had gone and they pledged allegiance out of Medina Munawwara to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we will support you fully. He says, that night and that pledge, before Rasul came into Madinah Munawwara, this was something very memorial to me. It was more beloved to me than even having participated in Badr, where even though Badr was more famous and well known amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So Hazrat Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that when Tabuk expedition was about to take place, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told the Sahaba to start preparing. He says, I used to go out every morning, the intention of now preparing and get one animal and get some equipment to fight. But every day I should go, come back home, return without making any preparations whatsoever. I would always say, okay, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. That tomorrow never came. When we procrastinate with doing any good deed, then the consequence becomes severe. What happens? Shaitan dupes us and we become lazy, we become heedless and we procrastinate And in the end, we don't fulfill that obligation which is upon us. This in Arabic is called taswif. Taswif means sofa, means tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as far as akhirah is concerned, the verses I mentioned to you previously, wasari'u ila maghfira. Hasten, rush. The other word, fastabiqul khairat. Also, rush, hasten, don't delay. The other verse, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Tanafus, to vie and compete with one another, to push yourself forward, don't delay. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَقْدِمِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَأْخِرِينَ. Allah knows those who are going forward and those who are lagging behind. Allah gives, motivates us in the Quran. As far as akhirat is concerned, do not delay, do not procrastinate. Procrastination is the thief of time. So he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then gathered the Sahaba, he told them, this is our preparation we're making. And he would not directly mention the route that they were going to go and the destination. Why? Munafiqeen were present. And they could then leak some information to the enemy. So in order to save themselves from this, Rasulullah would pretend as though they're going somewhere else. So if there was any leak, it would be a false, it would just be some a rumor that the Sahaba are planning to go in that way, and Rasul would go the opposite direction. He says, there were so many Sahaba, as I said, 30,000, who participated. So in this particular battle, unlike the other expeditions and battles that took place, they would have a book, a register, with all the people's names, those who are participating. But this, there were so many, that there was not a Diwan, a register. The Arabic word here comes in hadith, hafiz, a diwan, a register to write in all the names of all those who participated. So many of the munafiqeen found a golden opportunity. They said, our names won't be, nobody's name is written, so we can get away. So many, according to some of the narrations, plus minus 80 hypocrites, munafiqeen, remained behind. Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba every day, they're going out, they're making the preparation. It was such a time, as I mentioned yesterday, طَابَتِ الثِّمَار. Fruit was really ripe, ready for harvest in Madinah Munawwarah. And the destination they're going now, and the journey is going to be a very long one, extremely hot. He says, فَتَفِقْتُ أَغْدُو لِكِي أَتَجَهَّزَ مَعْهُمْ فَأَرْجِعْ وَلَمْ أَقْضِ شَيْئًا. Every morning I go, attention, I make some preparation, I come back home. No preparation made whatsoever. Suddenly, Rasulullah makes the i'lan, announcement, that now they are proceeding, they're leaving, and they leave. He says, I say to myself, I'm a strong person, I'm a young man, I'll make some preparation quickly, and I'll catch them up. He said, how I wish I did that. Ya laytani fa'altu. He said, falam yuqaddar li. But that was not written for me. How I wish I went and made the preparation and I just caught up with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba left. He says, the only thing that now grieved me, that every day I came out of my house and I went and I would look in the marketplace and in Madinah Munawwara, I would only see two types of people. One were the very weak people who were excused, as I mentioned, laysa ala du'afa wala ala marda last night. That those who were weak, those that had some sickness, ailment, then they were excused from participating in the battle. But, and the other people were people who were sunk in hypocrisy. Pakka munafiq. I look this way, I knew this guy is a munafiq. That side, he's a munafiq. Only these munafiqeen did not participate in this Tabuk expedition. So this thing used to grieve me and it bothered me. And he said, I should come out and, Rasulullah goes with Sahaba, they proceed and they reach Tabuk. Hatta balagat Tabuk. Only when he reached Tabuk, imagine, out of so many Sahaba, suddenly Rasul says, where's Ka'b bin Malik? It's strange. So many Sahaba in Madinah Munawwara. I said about 20 to 30,000 Sahaba with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously he didn't know exactly who is with him. He would know those who are around him. But suddenly there, Allah makes him think of Ka'b bin Malik. The moment he asked for Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, One person from the Banu Salima tribe, he says, Ya Rasulullah, habasahu burdahu, wa nadaru fi itfihi. Oh, yes, Ka'ab. Ka'ab, self-admiration has kept him back from us. He's only worried about himself. The word burda in Arabic means his garments. Habasa means to hold somebody back. His garments, worried about just his own self. That has kept him back. Another person by the name of Mu'adh bin Jabal, a very great sahabi of Rasulullah, he said, oh, what you're saying is wrong. Ya Rasulullah, we only know good about this man. We don't know anything wrong about Ka'b bin Malik. He tried to defend Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, and he did that rightfully, but Rasulullah kept silent. Nabi Karim did not say anything. Fasakata Rasulullah s.a.w. Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala says, before I knew it, I heard now, after so many days, each day I come out, I see only the munafiqeen, and I see those people who are weak, and I felt so uneasy amongst them, and before I knew it, I heard now Rasulullah and the Sahaba are returning. So after about 20 days, now they are returning. And as they're returning, I'm beginning to think, let me make some story up, let me speak a lie, and give this as an excuse to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I went now to some family people, made mashura with them. Hey, what do you think I should tell Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So people are giving him some opinion, say this, say that. And he said, I thought I will speak a lie to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming closer, that whole intention of speaking a lie, it just disappeared from me. And I thought, no, impossible. I won't speak a lie. Let me speak the truth to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he returned to Medina, it was his noble practice. First thing, he'll go to the masjid. He'll read 4 rakat salah. Sit with the sahaba. Those who do not participate in the expedition or battle, they would come forward and present their excuses. Rasulullah would listen to them and pardon them. And then they would go away. Then Rasulullah, he would first then go to his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala's house. And he would enter, she would stand up, greet her father, kiss him on his forehead, and make him sit in her place. After that, he'll go to his azwaj, azwaj al-mutahara, to his noble wives. This was the normal procedure, and he came like that, he went to the masjid. So now those who did not participate, who remained behind, all of them went forward, the munafiqeen went forward, and they began making their excuses, which was all lies. Rasulullah listened. He, on the surface value, accepted, as I mentioned yesterday, قُلْ أُذُلُوا خَيْرٍ لَكُمْ. Remember, the munafiqin said, oh, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he just accepts anything we say. So we can get away with him. We can hoodwink him. We can lie to him. Rasulullah, it was his akhlaq, his rahmah that he had in his heart. These munafiqin came, Nabi Kareem, whatever excuse they gave, yani, he accepted the outward excuse. He allowed them again to pledge allegiance, and they would proceed in this way. He says, Ka'b bin Malik says, it was my turn, and I went forward. When I went forward, I made salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi Kareem smiled at me, but the smile of an angry person, an upset person. How we say, half smile he gave. He didn't give me a full smile. Nabi Kareem was not happy. Why Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala remained behind? So he didn't give him a very full smile. Tabassama, tabassama al-mughdab alayh. He just smiled at him with an angry smile. Then he says, Ta'al, come forward. I went forward. I sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akarim, first question, what kept you behind? Why didn't you come with us? Did you not purchase your conveyance? Did you not purchase your mount, your animal? I said, Ya Rasulullah, yes, I did. Then Ka'b bin Malik says, Ya Rasulullah, if I had to be sitting now today in front of anybody else besides you, I would have been very easily able to come out that person's anger and displeasure. Allah Ta'ala has given me eloquence in my speech, and I have got the art and the skill of convincing my opponent and debating very well. But Ya Rasulullah, I will never take a chance with you. I know if I lie to you, you may accept my excuse, but Allah will reveal an ayat of the Quran, and which will expose me. Therefore, Rasulullah, I will only speak the truth to you. I have got no valid excuse and reason for remaining behind. Rasulullah SAW tells him, قُمْ حَتَّى يَقْضِي اللَّهُ فِيكَ. Stand up till Allah decides regarding you. When this happened, some of the people of Bani Salima, they sprang, they followed me, and they said, you never ever did anything wrong before, so why don't you just go back to Rasulullah and say, I made a mistake, the real reason was this, and just make some excuse again, and Nabi SAW will accept your excuse, and he'll make istighfar on your behalf, and you're scot-free. He said, they kept on rebuking me and pushing me. For a moment again, I thought, let me go back and just go and make it and lie to Rasulullah. And as this is happening, I asked them, is there anybody else who is in the same shoe as I am? Is there anybody else who also didn't have a valid reason and they did not go? They said, yes, two other Sahaba. Murara radiallahu ta'ala and Hilal radiallahu ta'ala. These two. Hilal bin Umayyah and Murara bin Rabi'. These two Sahaba were exactly like Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. They didn't have any valid excuse. They remained behind. One of them, it is mentioned that in his case, he had so much of fruit and he became so consumed in that, in his farm and with his wife. So he thought, I participated in so many battles, I participated in the other journeys before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I was there, Badr, etc. So I'll take it a bit easy. If I don't go for one, there's no real problem. Thus he thought to himself that, and he did not go. And the other one, he said, it was the first time that his family got together, and therefore he thought, if I don't go this time, it may be okay. But they also did not have any proper excuse. Then he says that I decided, no, I'm not going to go back and go to Rasulullah SAW and make some excuse. Allah Ta'ala then commanded Rasulullah SAW that these three Sahaba, nobody is allowed to talk to them. They must be boycotted. Nobody must talk to them at all. He says, everything changed for us. That same Madina Munawwara, the gullies that we should walk, the whole world changed. The ayat I read, حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رُحُبَتْ. The world became so narrow for us, despite it being so vast. The normal road was so wide. Now when we're walking, every way we're going, we're trying to smile at people, people looking the other way. I'm making salam, nobody's replying to my salam. I'm trying to talk to some person, they turn their backs to me. Everything became so narrow. The same gullies of Medina, which was so nice and spacious, now became so tightened and narrow and constricted. He said, in total, it was 50 nights that we spent like this. 50 nights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his system to make islah, tarbiyah. Don't make this mistake again in your life. This is a serious mistake. You made a blunder. Now to remedy the thing, one is, Allah says, okay, made you maaf and over. But the person doesn't learn. Here, lifelong, they will never make that mistake again. So then he says that my two companions, meaning Murara and Hilal radiallahu ta'ala, they couldn't take it. They just remain in their homes. I was strong, he says, Ka'b bin Malik, I should come, go for salat, go around the bazaar, but nobody used to speak to me. Wala yukallimuni ahad. He says, I should go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Usallim, make salam. Nabi Akram is looking down. I should look and see. Hal yuharriku shafatehi amla? Is Nabi Akram moving his lips or not? Allah has commanded this. Don't talk to them. He says, then as I should start my salat, I could see Rasulullah then glancing at me. Rahmatul alameen. This was not prohibited for Rasulullah. He couldn't talk to me. But look at his love for the Sahaba. My Sahabi made a mistake. I can't talk to him. But when he's engaged in Salat, he said, I could feel that Rasulullah is now looking at me. Nonetheless, he says, we carried on like this. Things are looking so dull and dark for us, tightened, constricted. Until one day, when this alienation and estrangement and this boycott of every person now became so heavy on me, that I went to one of my cousin's place, and I climbed up the wall. This was my uncle's son, my cousin, very close to me, a very close and dear friend. I made salam to him. He said, Allah's qasam, he didn't give jawab. I said, Abu Qatada, in the name of Allah, I implore you. Don't you know I love Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Fasakata, he's not speaking. I said again, in the name of Allah. He kept quiet. Third time I'm saying, don't you know I love Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then he didn't speak directly to me. Then he just said, Allahu wa rasuluhu alam. Allah and his Rasul know best. This made me burst out into tears. I began to cry. I began to sob. He says, I climbed that wall and I just left my cousin. He says, just then, a person comes to me from Sham. And they used to come before. They were farmers. They would bring some produce and sell it in Medina. So he came and he asked us, who can show me, who is this person? Ka'ab bin Malik. So they pointed out, there's that person there, Ka'ab bin Malik. He says, this man comes and he presents to me a letter from the king of Ghassan, who was a disbeliever. Look at this, look at the test now. So he says, I read this letter, what is it? Amma ba'd, fa'innahu qad balagani inna sahibaka qad jafaka. Oh, the news has reached us that your companion, meaning Rasulullah sallam, he has boycotted you. He has deserted you. He's showing you harshness. And you're not in this world to go through such humiliation and misery. Come away to us. We will take care of you. We will look after you. He said, when I read this, I knew this is another test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without any delay, I took the letter and went to the fireplace and I burnt it. Now he's explaining, I said, in total 50 nights, the whole incident. Here now, he says, 40 nights passed, and then suddenly a messenger comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one sahabi. He says, Rasulullah has commanded that now you must move away from your wife even. Oh. My other two companions and friends, their wives went, made some excuse, and genuinely that my husband, he's very weak, and he's feeling so full of distress, and I need to assist him. So permission was given for them. People came in, or somebody from my family then alerted me, why don't you make the same excuse? He said, I'm not going to try anything. What if Rasulullah then rejects it? I'll be put in a more severe position. So he says, I remain away from my wife, but the question I asked, do I give her talaq or just remain aloof from her? He said, no, don't give talaq, but just remain away from her. As we must have no relationship whatsoever. He said, I spent another 10 nights, and then one day whilst I was on the rooftop, I had prayed my fajr salat there, and as I'm just after salat, still, just thinking and pondering, suddenly I hear the voice of somebody shouting from the top of the mountain, and he's shouting, Ka'ab bin Malik. Just picture the scene, the echo, and he says, I see a rider also coming, riding fast towards me. But the voice of the person in the mountain reached me before this rider could even reach me. They came with the news that Allah has pardoned you. So he says, immediately when this man, whose voice I heard from the mountain, when he came to me to give me that glad tidings, Baharat, I had two garments, I gave it to him, what I was wearing. Obviously his body, his satr was covered. He took his upper garments and he gave it to him. In those days, in the past, to honor a person who gave you some good glad tiding, or he excelled in something, he performed very well and he made you very happy, to honor him, you won't just give him a gift, you give him your own garment, your own coat, your own jubba, your own kurta. That meant a big thing to that person. You really honored him. So he said, I gave this person, but still I was not satisfied. I needed to hear from the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam lips, Allah has forgiven you. He says, as I'm proceeding now, enter the masjid. He says, Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu ta'ala. Immediately he stood up first. He came running to me and he made musafaha, he congratulated me. He says, I'll never forget this good deed of Talha towards me. He says, then I go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I make salam. Rasulullah is, his face is now shining, he's smiling. Rasulullah makes replies to my salam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu tells me, glad tidings to you, O Ka'ab, the best day in your life since your mother has given birth to you. He said, still, Ka'ab bin Malik says, Ya Rasulullah, is this just from yourself? Or has Allah really pardoned me? He said, Allah Ta'ala has pardoned you. That's the verse we read, وَعَلَى ثَلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. And those three people, Allah forgave them, خُلِّفُوا, whose tawbah was delayed. خُلِّفُوا means, this takhlif means, their tawbah was delayed. Remember Rasul said, قُمْ حَتَّى يَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ فِيكَ. Until Allah decides, I cannot make any decision. So Allah Ta'ala delayed their tawbah, the acceptance of the tawbah, till 50 days. When this happened, and Rasulullah, he says, his face was like qit'atul qamar, a piece of the moon, shining, full of glitter. So he says, Ya, in the excitement, Ya Rasulullah, my wealth, from my tawbah, part of my tawbah, I am giving all my wealth in the path of Allah. Now look at Rasulullah, his hikmah. He was a leader. He didn't say, Ya mashallah, very good. No. He said, Bhai, don't give all your wealth in the path of Allah. Sadaqah. Mashallah, very good. But you got to keep some wealth for yourself. So he said, okay, that amount which I got in Khaybar, I leave that for myself. The rest I'm giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, I promise in the rest of my life, I will never speak a lie. I will always speak the truth. And he says, Allah Ta'ala tested me on many occasions about when I face a situation and whether I would speak the truth or lie. I always spoke the truth. He says, I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right till the end of my life. I must always be loyal to Allah Ta'ala and speak the truth. I must never speak a lie. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave and pardoned these three sahaba. Of course, this sahaba made a slight error, but Allah forgave them. Remember, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhum. Allah was pleased with them. They were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These incidents have taken place. Why? As a lesson for you and I. They are not things for you and I to point a finger at the sahabi. Their hearts were so pure. Their lives were so pure. Any error they made, immediately the sahabi would make sincere tawbah. So after this incident, Allah Ta'ala then says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Famous verse we hear in many majlises and gatherings. O believers, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be with the sadiqeen, those who are truthful. What do we learn from this entire lesson? Two important things. Who are the sadiqeen? Those who loved Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dearly, wholeheartedly, head to toe, and they followed the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were unlike those hypocrites who proclaim that they love Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They proclaim iman, but inside, they were not true. So sidq, mentioned in the beginning of Ramadan, this is a quality we need to work hard on. Sidq is when your external and your internal both are the same. It's not you acting and pretending to be very pious, but inside, you're impious. You don't pretend that I am his friend, and inside you his enemy. Sidq requires your zahir and your batin, both must be correct, and you must be absolutely loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you must be obeying the shariat. So, and we learn from this, that Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, Murara radiallahu ta'ala, Hilal radiallahu ta'ala, they were honest. They did not lie like the munafiqeen. They were sadiqeen also. So in this explanation, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that be in the company of those who are truthful. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah. Fear Allah. If you want taqwa, ulama have mentioned, as the Thani Ulama has mentioned also in Bayan al-Quran, the ulama have said, if you want taqwa, the easy way and route of getting taqwa is to be in the company of the sadiqeen, the pious, those who are genuinely loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of their hearts, their intention, their tongue, their qawl, and the fi'l and the action. May Allah Ta'ala make us from the sadiqeen, salihin. Never speak a lie, because one day you will get caught out. With Shariat, as I mentioned yesterday, do not play with Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make sincere tawbah for our sins. Yes, we are weak. We are unlike the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. We are weak, we'll falter, we blunder, we make mistakes, we make gunas. But again, the doors of tawbah are open. And what's the easy way out for us? Look and search for such people in whose company we will become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll get the sidq of the heart, the sidq of the tongue, and the sidq of the limbs. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanahu wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.